Nope. We don't need to speed up the process. We don't need to nuke this. You know why? Because this is the non-microwave truth.
I am CL Whiteside, and this is brought to you by Time of Grace Ministry. Do not forget about timeofgrace.org, which has a ton of resources on there that are there to help you in your spiritual walk and your spiritual journey. Also, I wanted to say thank you. I appreciate you. Shout out to the people that have written reviews. Hit the 5-star. Hit the like button on YouTube. Special shout out to my brother Ty. Keep balling on heads. I saw the review that you wrote. But enough of that. Let's get into our first world problem. Sister Susan, I got a great first world problem today. Now, I didn't come up with this one, but the last couple of weeks we had Easter. And with that, one of the chapel speakers that I had at my school, he came up with this question. He said, "What do you think happened to Barabbas?" And if you're like, who is Barabbas? Remember, Pontius Pilate was like, all right, we have Jesus or we have Barabbas. Who do you want to die? Who do you want to save? And the people were like, Jesus, we want him to be crucified. And the reason I thought about this is because Barabbas was a murderer. Barabbas was some type of leader of a revolt, something. He wasn't a good dude in that regards. But the thing about it is where I'm like, did Barabbas have a change of heart? Did the Holy Spirit get him? Did the Holy Spirit convict him? It's because there were a chain of events that took place with Jesus's death. The first one, think about this. Jesus is on the cross and Barabbas has to be around when he got pardoned. He got let free. When Jesus was on the cross, the entire land became dark. And some of you might be like, it must have been nighttime. Like, no, it was noon. It was noon and the entire land became dark. That ain't normal. That's just not normal. There were earthquakes. That's not normal. There were people that were raised from the dead after Jesus's death and resurrection. That's not normal. So I'm just like, Barabbas had to hear about this. Barabbas had to hear about the temple curtains being split in half. And these bad boys were like 4 inches thick. That's what they believe. So it's like all these things took place. Did Barabbas harden his heart and be like, nope, dude had it coming. I'm glad it wasn't me. Or was he like, man, this truly is the Son of God? What do you think? A lot of times we're like, man, if I would have saw all of that and I would have had all that evidence, I would believe. And it's like, you do have all that evidence. We have God's word. But what do you think Barabbas did? What do you think happened to Barabbas? If you had to guess, I would love to hear from you on Instagram or Twitter. My handle is ChampionLife23. If you're on YouTube, drop it in the comments right now. What do you think happened to Barabbas if you had to guess? Because it doesn't say in God's word what happened. It doesn't tell us in the Bible. But I would love to hear from you. And this is our first world problem. It is dinner time. The title of this episode is Make Sure This Is Good and It Stays Good. We are in an era, a culture, or a society that is always like, what's next? Like, how do I get a promotion? How do I advance? How do I get more honor? How do I get more status? So we're constantly chasing these things. And we don't realize a lot of times when we're chasing these things that this comes with a cost. Or at times we don't realize like, all right, this should never cost you your home. This should never cost you your base. This should never cost you your foundation. But we want to skip steps a lot of times, or sometimes we don't even realize like, you know, the most important thing is just having a solid foundation. So in this episode today, we're going to look at like, how do you keep these first things first and not get caught up in this microwave culture? And the first thing is this: stay asking and letting God search your heart. Listen to what Psalm 139 verse 23 and 24 says. It says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." When we don't have our mind and we're not letting God search our heart and we're getting enamored with other things and we're looking at other people and comparing to them, man, we want to speed up the process and throw things in a microwave. And what happens is when we get to comparing in this way and we're not letting God search our hearts and we're letting the world define what success is all the time, we start to look at people that are advancing and be like, man, I have to advance in this same way. Like, they're advancing so much faster than me. But in reality, you might not know that just because this person seems to be killing it at work or at school or in their sport, that they are literally being killed at home and their base, their foundation is crumbling and falling apart. Like, it's not sustainable at all. It's not sustainable at all. The second thing that we have to look at on how to keep first things first and secure our base or secure our foundation, secure our home, is to realize it is absolutely okay to say no and be on the low. Say no and be on the low. You're going to be asked to do so many different things. You're going to get pulled in so many different directions. We have to be comfortable saying no and sometimes just going away, working on ourselves and being right and being with God, being alone with God. Think about how many times Jesus was like, all right, I'm going to go step away and be with the Heavenly Father. And the big reason why we don't want to say no a lot of times is because we have a arrogant mindset. And we feel like, I have to do this. I have to be in the spotlight. I have to be known. I have to have people know who I am. And in regards, it's like, you can work on your craft, because look at what Proverbs 16 verse 18 tells us. When we had this mentality that becomes arrogant, it says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. How many times do we think like, man, if I get this or I get that, then I'm going to become this, or it's going to make me feel this way? But that's not how it works. That's usually not how it works. It's not sustainable at all. The third thing that I want to look at with keeping first things first and keeping our base secure and our foundation secure is when we look at obstacles and challenges in the wrong way, we look like, man, I got these obstacles and these challenges. God must have abandoned me, or God doesn't care for me, or God doesn't love me. But we have to remember Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, give you hope and a future. That's a passage I would encourage you to memorize and just be ready to say that, especially when some stuff get a little iffy, because you got to go back to God's truths. And the fourth thing that I want to look at for securing our base and our foundation is we have to be intentional with our time. We have to keep putting time and energy in the most important thing, the most important thing. And that is in our home. That's in our base. That's in our foundation. That's with our relationship with Jesus Christ, because otherwise we're wasting time. And it's so easy to waste time. And when we're chasing this or we're chasing that advancement or that promotion, all of a sudden God becomes secondary, or this thing becomes our God. And that ain't gonna work. Look at what Ecclesiastes tells us. I believe this is Brother Solomon, who had everything, 1,000 different women, riches, billionaire, millionaire, whatever you want to say, everything you could imagine he had. And what did he say? Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? And this is exactly how you create stress and create more anxiety in your life. When you're chasing all these things in life that really don't matter, or things you really do not have control over. And we just truly have to remember, what does Jesus give us? What does Jesus want to give us? Listen to what this passage says. John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus wants to leave us with peace. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Because the world wants to give you mess. It says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Now, the beautiful thing is, when you want to advance in the right way, when you want to bring glory to God, when you are willing to be obedient and wait on God's timing, this keeps you from burning out. Because how often do you feel tired and wearied and burnt out? A lot of times it's due to the fact that we are trying to skip steps. We're trying to put things in the microwave that shouldn't be put in the microwave. So the big thing is, be obedient, stay out of mess, and you're going to be at the most peace in your life without a doubt. Now, let's just go back to that microwave idea, that microwave idea of our culture. How many times are people like, man, I need to be put in charge of this now. You know what? I'm ready for this responsibility now. Thinking like, you know what? If I get in this relationship, in fact, I'm going to have to do a little manipulating. I'm going to have to do a little helping God out with this relationship. I'm going to be happy. And people want to be happy at any cost. I even hear people sometimes like, man, you know, money is my main issue right now. As soon as I get this job, which is when I get this job or when I get this promotion, I'm going to make more money. The problem is going to be gone. And you know what? that's not likely true, especially when you are skipping steps or when you're doing things outside of God's will, and your base and your foundation and your home is not right. Because all that happens is you get more money. If you don't know what to do with that money and your base and foundation isn't right, you're still going to just lose more money. You are going to blow more money. Like, the reason you don't have money is not because you don't have any, it's because you don't know what to do with it when you do have it. But that's the topic for another day. Now, I wanted to look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, which is more so talking about a pastor, but I thought this applies to us as well when it comes to getting more out of life, when it comes to advancing, when it comes to seeking promotion, when it comes to being at our absolute best from a purpose and from a job standpoint. It says, here's a trustworthy saying, whoever aspires to be an overseer, that's a pastor. But let's just say you want to advance, you want to have a promotion, you want to be blessed in your purpose and your work. It says desire is a noble task. Now, the overseer is to be above reproach. That means don't be in any mess. So I have been guilty of thinking, all right, I can be disobedient to God. I can be janky at home. Nobody's going to know about it. And this is going to have no effect, no influence in my career, in my job. And that's so not true. It's so not true. It goes on to say, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-control, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness. Now, it also, I'm going to add this, and it's going to be okay for me to add this. It says also, like, not being okay with being high, like a sober mind is a good thing. And you can't argue with me that it doesn't make you lazy, or you can at least say it doesn't make you at your best. It's the same way if I was drinking all the time, you getting high all the time, you ain't sober mind, you ain't at your best. Like, can't argue that. It says, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Now, you might be saying to yourself, I'm not trying to take care of God's church, and that's okay. Well, hopefully you are trying to take care of something that can glorify God. You are trying to advance the kingdom. You are trying to bless others. You are trying to be in a position to be a steward for God. Hopefully that's the case, and this is why this still can apply to you. Now, it might be tough for you to realize this. If you are in a cycle, and some of us are in cycles that we don't even know because, like, how we've been taught, maybe our parents taught us how to get money, but our parents did not teach us how to work for God's kingdom and bring glory to God. Our parents maybe taught us, like, you know, how you love somebody is just buying whatever they want, but they forgot about the time piece and sitting down and talking to you, sitting down and breaking down God's word with you, sitting down and sharing God's truth with you. That's something we got to remember as well. And there are some biblical examples of people who forgot to put first things first and how that cost them, or how it was like, this still applies today. First example that I want to give you, King David. He forgot his base or his foundation and it got cracked. Remember when he was supposed to be at war? He started feeling himself a little bit. He stayed home. So his home wasn't right. So what did this do? It ended up messing up his kingdom, ended up having an affair, ended up having misery, ended up multiple people ended up dying because of this. And eventually his kingdom got split in half. And that's because of speeding up the process or feeling himself or too much pride, I should say. And that's something we easily can fall susceptible and guilty to. Another one that I think about, a biblical example, are the disciples. Remember when the disciples said, hey, Jesus, can I sit at your right and my brother at your left? Like, can we sit at the right and left? And Jesus is like, you don't even know what you are asking. How many times are we chasing honor and we're chasing status in the same way? And we really don't even know what we're asking. And what the disciples were missing is the most important thing is their relationship with Jesus Christ. But sometimes that honor and that status, it blinds us and it makes us talk crazy when we start asking for stuff that we really don't even know what we're asking or we have no business asking for. Another example, I think, would be Abraham and Sarah. Do you remember them? Like, their base and their foundation, they became disobedient. And this is where we get guilty a lot of times, is we try to help God out when God is really saying, no, wait on my timing. Wait on my timing. Sarah was like, hey, we don't have a kid yet. Abram, don't my servant, you can go have her. And then we can have a family through her when she has a kid. And then that ended up backfiring. Sarah got tired of her. She ended up getting pregnant. It worked out as she planned, but she forgot, like, this wasn't God's plan. And then she wanted to get rid of her. And the guy was like, nope, you got to keep her here. But just think about all the problems that caused them because they wanted to help God out or step outside of God's will and step outside of God's plan. And on this episode of Make Sure This Is Good and It Stays Good, you have to do things God's way in order for it to stay good. You have to just be so intentional about your foundation, about your base in life. So I'm going to talk about myself personally. Okay, I coach and I teach. So that means, let's say I'm responsible for like 900 plus students, right? And I've said this before from an athletic standpoint, especially with my athletes, I spend more time with them, especially during the season, than I do with my family, than I do with my own wife. I'm going to spend more time with them than I do with my own daughter. Yeah, your little boy, your man got a little girl on the way, so pray for your boy. But man, that's going to be something. That's going to be something. And it's just like you're spending time with these people. You have to make sure. I love sports. I love teaching. I love being in education. I have to make sure that my home life is solid and it's good. And I want to be the best coach. I want to be the best teacher. I want to be the best assistant principal. But in order to do that, I need to make sure, like, home needs to be solid. My base needs to be secure. And what that means is, all right, from a health standpoint, I got to take care of my body. I have to make sure that I'm eating right, getting in the weight room, seizing every opportunity that I can to take care of myself in that regard. I have to be intentional about my spiritual growth. I have to be intentional about that because the most important relationship is with God, is with Jesus, is allowing the Holy Spirit to work through me, putting myself in positions to hear his word. And then my most earthly important relationship is my wife. I have to stay studying my wife because at the end of the day, people change and you just need to be intentional in watering that and making sure that it is growing in the right way. So I got to make sure I'm trying to give her time and I got to make sure that I'm giving her attention because too many times we get mad when people change and it's like everybody's going to change. It's the only thing that you messed up on is not noticing the change, not fostering it, not helping develop, help not prune the beautiful rose that God has blessed you or has given you. And I know you done heard the phrase happy wife, happy life, right? So jobs can be up and down. Coaching definitely can be up and down, but my home can be solid. It can be consistent when I'm intentionally growing as a child of God and I'm intentional about that relationship with my wife. Because I could be killing it at work and you could be killing it at work, but if you trash at home, that's not going to be good. And if I give my job all this time and I give the bare minimum to my spouse or my kids, or you do the same thing, those relationships aren't going to grow. And those relationships are going to eventually causing some type of explosion or causing your world to be flipped upside down in some regard. And we have to put first things first. And I can't put a little effort in my spiritual growth and then be wondering why certain things at work start to go crazy or it's not going in the way that I want it to go. Or sometimes, you know, it is going. And you know what happens? You still aren't happy or you still aren't fulfilled because those things are meaningless, meaningless, utterly meaningless. So something I just wanted to point out to you, though, is some of you will be put in positions where you can overlap and you can do some of these things. So what I mean by that is, all right, you want to spend more time with your kids. You want to spend more time with your children. So you'll be put in a position where all of a sudden you might be able to coach them. That allows you to spend more time. Like, don't feel guilty about that type of thing. Definitely don't feel guilty about that type of thing. And I'm not saying like you have to just stay home and do absolutely nothing and just tend to your husband or your wife, but you need to show them balance. You need to have balance. You might have to cut out other things. Like, I'm not going to the bar and to the club on the weekends. Like, that would just not be smart. Like, I need to be more intentional in how I'm spending my time and designating that time for the Lord and for my family. One of the big things that I do want to point out, though, is it's a blessing to let them see you work to let them see you serve and to fulfill your purpose. Like, that is a true blessing. That is a good thing. It's awesome to allow them to see you doing meaningful work versus like selfish ambition type work, or you're trying to buy someone's love. Like, those are different things. And sometimes we try to sugarcoat it, like, man, I'm working for you. And it's like, you're really not working for them in some regards. Like, you don't need any more money. Like, they don't need to have another pair of Jordans. They already got 10 pairs of Jordans. So you saying that you're working for them, you could take that and spend some quality time with them. Like, you definitely could. You could take that time to do a devotion with them. You could take that time to take them to church. You could take that time to sit there side by side and just show them some love and give them time, because they need to see you serving God and not serving like your job and acting like that. That's an idol. And this is something I think that even pastors have to be very, very cautious of, or people that are in the ministry, because they can be so concerned. We can be so concerned about the church that our own immediate family members are getting overlooked and not receiving the care or attention that they need. And we can hide behind saying, you know, God says help everybody. Like, well, you need to make sure that you're helping the people at home and you're being intentional about that as well. Because sometimes the things that need our most attention are right in front of us, right in our face. And I wanted to look at Titus chapter 1, starting at verse 6. And this is talking about an elder, but this still applies in a lot of different ways. And this is kind of how we're going to wrap this episode up of make sure this is good and it stays good. Make sure this is good and it stays good. It says, an elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. And this is definitely not always the case, but 98% of the time, kids are acting out because they do not feel the love from their parents, or their parents are not putting in the time with them. It's not always the case, but I should bump it down to 90%, because sometimes kids just gonna try you because they got a sinful nature. But a lot of times it's because of they're not seeing you put in the time. Or you know what else happens? They don't see you loving their mom or dad in a good way. So because they don't see you loving their mom or dad in a good way, that's oftentimes causing them to lash out. And that's one of the greatest forms of love that you can show a child, is to love their mom or dad the godly way, which is a beautiful thing and how God has designed for it to be. Verse 7 says, since an overseer manages God's household. Now, you may not be managing God's household, but trying to be a steward and ambassador for him. So just think about that. He must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. And I just wanted to stop right there with that dishonest gain. We got to be honest with ourselves and why we are pursuing a lot of these things. And remember, a lot of these things do not matter. So why are we putting so much time and energy into these things? Because we're trying to advance and we're told we have to do this. But we got to realize a lot of times it's actually an idol. So don't be worshiping your job. Don't be worshiping your money. Don't be worshiping the status or the honors. But be cautious of that for sure. It says, rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. And this is the thing that I just want to leave you with today on this episode. And this is something that applies to all of us. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. And what is that sound doctrine? That sound doctrine that keeps us secure, that keeps our foundation secure, that keeps our home right. It's the doctrine of Jesus Christ and his love being unmatchable, his love being unconditional. That is what we build our foundation on. That is what we find security in. That is what our base is rooted in and makes it sturdy and makes it unbreakable, unshakable, is understanding, knowing Jesus Christ's love for us and how he has demonstrated that love with his death and his resurrection and suffering for us when there's nothing we could have done for it. Like, that is the beautiful thing that our base and our foundation has to be rooted in. And it can be rooted in because of Jesus and what he has done for us. And this is the non-microwave truth. Thanks for joining me on this episode of Make Sure This Is Good and It Stays Good. Put the first things first. Peace, punch, Captain Crunch. Say no to drugs and yes to Jesus. I am out.